to this week's edition of Arya.
I am grateful. Good.
Great show planned for us too.
Yes. Well, I'm a cyber citizen, and that kind of citizen doesn't have anything to do with different kind of citizen. And she's going to talk to us about that. And then in our second half hour, we'll be speaking with how, I don't know why I have that echo. There. All right. So we'll be some of the ways that Trump has tried to intimidate and threaten our lawyer back.
Yeah, he's been going after those big firms, hasn't he? Well, our first topic, Justin, concerns what is required of a good, or as the pub author today puts it, and I quote, I should also mention that Heidi Boghossian is also a co-host of a national public affairs show that Maria and myself also, happy to say that Law and Disorder is now airing in the 8th station. A warm, warm welcome to the lawyers. The great praise that your new book, Cyber Citizen, is.
Jim and Maria, I'm thrilled to be with you.
Heidi, the subtitle of your new book is Digital Literacy. Now, as a person with all too little digital literacy myself, as I think you're well aware, writing this book, and what experiences perhaps to write the fine book that you've written?
Thank you, Jim. As executive director of the National Lawyers Guild, I became corporate of animal rights. In fact, in 2005, the FBI's the top domestic. I went on to research that topic over the next few years, being monitored by both governments and corporations. A couple of years after, the activist hackers who others were doing very public, fine public services in many ways, exposing injustices and me showing the great difference. Smartphones start. We quickly adopt. I realized is these hacktivists were genius with working a lot in the dark, big tech data. So just you may have been breached. I might have just gone, possibly given my email and from a wonderful online site that I urge your listeners to go to. I've been pawned, pwned.com slang. Meaning comp 15 groups, some of which I'd never heard of because they were nations and they were using my properly safeguarding it. Sort of how, because of our ignorance cyber wise, we are government and big tech to limit the way we continue to participate of it, including voting. That's really what inspired me.
Well, Heidi, you contend that the fight for the online world is more urgent during the autocratic presidency of Donald Trump.
It's imperative that we deal with the online world as real democracy right now, since so much of what we do is online. Digital platforms, as you know, shape engage civically and even how we vote. 2016 with campaign and administration, the domestic act weaponizing social media, late voters by targeting ads based on Trump himself became a Washington Post false or misleading claims that he made while after the 2020 claim that he has a rise in groups like the Proud Boys and research from the Southern Poverty Online hate. And we know that Trump ran by during the 2020 ad that Trump occasion of bias against conservatives, but his Department of Justice and FTC took limited issues. Years of inaction, all after 20. I think we all, in 2017, lowered corporate tax rates from 35 companies, repatriated, strengthening both their market power and tech businesses. Google and Facebook saw their share of dipping. Amazon's e-commerce dominance deepens until late in Trump's.
Well, all right, Heidi, in the overview, it says that in the same way that private information, our online presence can lead to unintentional data. What is about this problem in our digital devices? Is there such thing as digital
privacy? Well, digital privacy, I think we can, but we have to be rigorous. Whereby now, literally creates a trail of personal information. Sites we click on, what we post, seen that when you get targeted ads, if you wanted to buy, and all of a sudden, that's all you see popping up. advertisers, of course, data companies, And the apps, I'm not a fan of storing this data, just as I found with my own personal, or if it's opening, we don't know. Our personal passwords, financial data, birthday can be to have lucrative identity theft. And government, their digital survey communications, all that. Programs like NSA's PRISM, defense warrants, when they get a warrant to search a certain geographic area, and they have cell phone extract, how vulnerable.
Yeah.
And for government, need to know is that true digital world is difficult to achieve without what I call digital hygiene, using encryption and using privacy tools like Signal. It's not a surefire guarantee because Signal doesn't store message contents order to turn over a user registered for access. It in Switzerland to hand over after getting a legal order from is the good level of certain security for non-professionals to use. Always should be my information, whether it's joining a loyalty club at all loyalty clubs, giving doctors security.
Yeah, yeah.
Just leave it blank. No one's.
No.
Wow. Well, Heidi, you used the term in order to protect ourselves, we need to become digitally literate and maintain cyber hygiene, which you into it a little more. What in your literacy and cyber hygiene?
Digital literacy is generally, the term is acceptable thinking skill and warily navigate, evaluate, and it's not just knowing how to use your devices or your apps. And you may think, Jim may not, but it's about understanding what the risks are out there and actually render us quite a big tech and big. You need to know how to recognize misinformation. Be aware of who is collecting, able to make informed decisions that you recognize manipulative algorithms, the ones that urge how to cross-reference information sources and fact-check and know is fascinating because it doesn't receive quite as much attention, but it really refers to the everyday that reduce to cyber threats like hacking and surveillance. So use strong, unique passwords for each account. Do not use your pet's name. Check your authentication, which is very easy to do. Local, with ever click on suspicious from a friend asking for money, disregard that. Tell them that you got that email. It's on social media and browsers, because you can limit data tracking. Literacy is the mindset. Your hygiene is a set of daily habits, like brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm. Already that makes me want to go off script just a little bit. But question, that you're not a big fan of apps. You know, there's an app. Why not? What?
Well, when you look at your personal information, the whole you open up means the more opportunity hackers or mal find ways to sneak in board of privacy apps, and of course we all use some. Make sure you, if it's an Apple app, get it from the Apple Snyder's name. Don't, you know, searches.
Yeah.
That in fact, like even when you look for sites that try to sell you IRS scrutiny or help you with your taxes, but you have to make really sure, look at the URL, the name on in your browser, Department of Taxation. So I see up more holes, sort of like you have doors in your house and window into personal information.
Because I don't want to step to my one other thing that you said that I perhaps hadn't thought about ahead of time. I wonder, citizen, to have the proper understanding, the proper questions. Is this thing, God knows we're not even teaching, ought we not be teaching in schools? Does anybody do that?
Should be teaching children from ICE, and they're getting them young, has a foothold in class. All their, they really, Google, make Apple, they make you consumer of those products because it's what you were taught on Google Classroom, all the other things. I think that there is a responsibility of teachers, administrators to be building in a type and the parents, their children using about violate the few laws that, for example, with sort of cartoon-like figures that track their personal data. So that has to be taught in a course. I think it needs to be built in law school. As you know, we have professional responsibility. Well, this is equally important for everyone are not technically proficient.
Whoops.
Yes. Here in California, actually, the bar is now requiring education in that area because we cannot be effective advocates without it.
And the laws and the, you know, the practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to ask Government Secrecy, Freedom of the Press Foundation, their Lauren Harper, that mass surveillance of civic engagement combined to pose a pernicious, end quote. Talk about that, how your book provides lessons in civics.
Surveillance and the erosion of civic knowledge pose a pernicious, as you said, in isolation. They intersect and they reinforce each other in ways I try to sort of explain their relationship. As you know, mass act on free speech and being watched, it's proven that they are less likely to test, especially with our digital illiteracy makes not understand how surveillance works. Algorithms really manipulate our views to mold and lack of civic education as our standing up to take part of democratic accountable or even understanding their stick. Young people were polled, 40% said they would be fine with an autocrat because they've seen too much on social powerful, loud figures speak in, and they don't have the nuance. So I just want to say that I mention in the book, there's Project Llano in San Diego, teenagers joining the military, and they're looking at bias in the is teaching in more and more schools around the schools. And a case of Rhode Island students, their school district, because they weren't teaching civics. I describe the dangers, the problem, what people even mention, schools and parents are using to learn.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder too, correct, I am, because I am quite ignorant of this subject. Everybody out. Am I wrong when I say it wants that the government has access to what's on the cloud?
I need to research this a little more. Something we should all be aware of.
Yeah, I do think that cloud under certain circumstances, safe. I think, all right, I'm sorry about that. I thought about as a lawyer, when I was the head of the Lawyers Guild locally, about an action perhaps that they were going to take, as perhaps into something. And I would often say to them, let's go out in the parking lot and have...
No, Jim, not at all. ...chance to activist groups, and I'm hearing more and more in person the way many of us did a few decades ago, to be a little savvier about who potential infiltrator in the guild.
Yes.
So I think, if is possible, I think... The old-fashioned way, if it's what some groups do is the location and the time until the night, to outwit the powers that be.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, we are running. We have a couple more minutes. We want to be sure that you have time to give us your last. Why don't you give us those and then be sure to include how listeners can get your book either in bookstores or online.
I would say part with the book is you need to be comfortable with whatever level of privacy you opt to use. So don't go, you're not able to actually just every day, you know, my password's down on a piece of them online, even though there are many protect people use and have success with, but sometimes online can help. So I like a little, I think we have to be aware between big tech demanding for more privacy protection, more transparency. You know, lobby ours, and they have so many billions of described kind of a feudal system with the tech really running our lives. I would just digital democratic trusting the problem from an informed, cautious public, stronger private, independent tools. Digital literacy and civic engagement are rights to companies whose profit depend on surveillance and marketing and selling to everyone. This power dynamic.
This book, is it in bookstores?
Online. I urge people to go to independent books, the major ones as well.
Well, we've been... because she is the author of Cyber Citizens, Saving Democracy. I confess I've not yet read the book of it. I've asked for a copy. I want to read it as soon as I get my hands on it. I would be happy if you buy this book. I'm just telling you, as you'll want to get this book. If you use a computer at all, it would be foolish to keep you do that, my friends. And Heidi, thank you again so much for joining us.
Both my pleasure.
All right. Bye. Take a brief station identification break. Then we're going to be back with the lawyer, John Burton, talking about big law. Stay tuned.
Listening to KPFK, 90.77 FM San Diego and 99.5.
Back with you, as promised. That's our theme music. I'm Jim Lafferty. Allow Maria introduce our talk about.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Well, Trump announced to reverse any and all strides we've made towards equity, taking their cue from Hitler's strategy of 90 years ago, and probably they've got their sights set on bullying and controlling the states like California, the medical profession, the cultural apparatus, the top brass in the military, and finally, even judges and lawyers. And Trump's efforts to dominate members of that last group, specifically some of the large big law, with being excluded from federal buildings and courthouses, as well as canceling security clearances and bullying some of those big law firms, and in fact, fully caved in and agreed to donate over $1 billion free legal work, including defending cops in cases where they've been murdered, like in the George Floyd, by others, has been impressive and is a tribute to the spirit of tradition. Los Angeles attorney John Burton. Mr. Burton was the President Accountability Project, representing over 600 professionals. Mr. Burton has covered this story for the World Socialist website, and he's written that is far from have ruled against Trump. Thousands of lawyers are joining the resistance. Here's Guild Show.
Very nice introduction.
Got a day job. So how did you get involved?
Well, I'm a police misconduct lawyer, and Jim and I go way back. And I also write for the World Socialist website. And when this first executive order came out naming Perkins Coie, which is one of the big law firms in the United States, for its activities and for the activities of some of its former partners, recognized it as largely, but an attack on the legal rights generally, which depend on the legal privacy, not only in courts, but also branch agency attack, what we stand for as lawyers, and I wound up subject.
I see. Excellent. Excellent. Well, John, Trump, Maria said, both firms, unless they make a deal with him to represent his success, of course. But let's begin by asking one against Trump, court judgments. We've gotten three temporary restraining orders against Trump's efforts. Talk to.
Well, actually, it's all four. We're,
four.
We're, four. Or Sussman Godfrey, and then just recently an order of action.
Excellent.
They've all won. You know, everybody put up a fight. Judges, two of which were, by any measure, conservative Republican judges. Columbia Circuit District. Against Trump on these were not close decisions at all. Remarkable things is that in so many of his cases where Trump has sort of flooded, he's filed immediately and really sought to bring this up in front of the court, with the notable exception of in this case, in the first ruling, Perkins Coie on the notice of appellate review of these two decisions by each judge. So it's eight total in four.
Wonderful and interesting. Huh.
Well, John, we the people get from the Bill of Rights. I'm specifically thinking about the First, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment, American Bar Association administration, and the government that was based chiefly on how those basic liberties and rights moved to co-op.
Four of the judges, and it's primarily on the First Amendment. Is implicated in multiple respects. The client, as long as we stay, is First Amendment protected activity. Second, the client has a First Amendment representation to bringing a case, especially in court, to advocating a position. Third, inhibits retaliatory action, the exercise of First Amendment activity. All of these judges found that these executive orders were clearly and actually explicitly retaliative First Amendment in that respect. And fine requires government neutrality. It's a violation of the First Amendment to single their viewpoint as opposed to others. So center treatment. And the Fifth Amendment argument is a little more subtle. It provides that no person shall be denied life, liberty. It says nothing about the right to an attorney, but a free choice of counsel and the ability of counsel is essential to due process when one thinks about it. Things where the life, liberty, or property. And then the Sixth Amendment is someone who's accused of a crime and one's choice.
Follow up with a couple of questions, if I may. Given the success of the big law firms that have not simply rolled over, why so many of the big law firms have, with clearly a losing case on their side, they would perhaps roll and continue to have access to the courts, et cetera, et cetera. But given the fact that there were arguments, and as courts have found, good and just arguments from those, why do you just money? They're big gazooie. What in the world made them?
Well, we call them the Vichy law firms. I mean, rise of Nazi Germany. There was a lawyers association that one had to join. I mean, these are Quislings. They want to be this, I hate thing.
Yeah.
And principle and fight. They're Quislings and of our profession. And Deal came in from Paul Weiss, bored us, because Paul Weiss law firm, and yes, they're measured by dollars. They have us in New York, still live in a different world from each other. Law firm to have Jewish ownership. They partnered with Legal Defense Educational Fund, instrumental in the litigation leading to 1954. So these are have capitulated. When every, which is that there were overpowering arguments, not looking at arguments, just the right thing to do. I mean, for a lawyer being able to represent a client that you've taken without fiduciary is the essence of our existence. Representing workers who are being, our job as lawyers is to advocate. That's our action for that. And to sanction these constitutional and orders for what was done legally is just inexcusable. And these firms need to be broken up. Many partners have left. I would urge that anybody who is considering firms not different alternative. And if you're in a position of high law firm of this magnitude, they'll capitulate.
Maria, go ahead.
Well, we did those three big law to oppose Trump and his effort in many amicus briefs filed. Solo attorneys and 800 other solo lawyers. First, rounds are they basing their policies elite amicus brief and the American Bar Association?
Right. On Sussman Godfrey, they successfully sued on behalf of these.
Uh-huh.
I think, like I said, before the briefs they all really focused on, and then amicus briefs, I think, you know, over 30, at one of the first law firms in the United States, refused to sign on. Felt that was absolutely scandalous, that jumping to be in the head of the law profession, because defending the legal profession, to go after a doctor, treated patients, and these patients, undocumented workers that ICE had beat against the doctors for the patient, the medical profession to say, no, we treat patients who are brought into our facility.
And the
well, I would say they were
late.
They're late to file a very, see how it holds up with the current universal prohibitions, et cetera. Disappointed they did not jump in when they did, but they did do it.
If these cases do reach the Supreme Court, any of these cases, although you're suggesting, I'm not so sure that Trump ought to be that hesitant about anything. But do you have would stand?
Well, I think the fact that Trump has not done more to get them to the Supreme Court tells me that he has no confidence that they will uphold this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sort of speculate on what these six would do with this. I can leave that to somebody else. But this is so far off on our whole profession, our whole mm-hmm. that would do with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Strategy, as Maria mentioned in her introduction, I believe, the independent institute of power in like Colombia, governments like California and so forth, allies with these other institutions that are under attack? Have they done so to any extent? And if not, should they?
They should. Everybody should. But I think more fundamentally, was to deprive Colombia and some of these other come under attack from legal representation. Represent somebody that Trump is opposed to. And risk having their legal practice and destroyed. It's about discouraging lawyers from doing their job. I mean, lawyers have a special role in modern bourgeois capitalist society of representing interests mm-hmm. and sure the interests that command the most money. Get a louder voice. And lawyers represent everybody, and lawyers do take on cases for just making money. They do, and interfere with that. Especially the president of the United States is we need to be in there against ICE thugs in our neighborhood or against attacks on Harvard and Harvard's international students. We need to be able to do this. Without a fear that we're going to have an executive order that is going to tell firms, all our clients, that they're going to lose all their government contracts.
I mean, when you think about lawyers, it's really sometimes our civic life is and how, the judicial system is supposed to be in contrast. Now that it seems like Trump is really trying to compromise all of these institutions that are supposed to be equality, and even these big beyond bourgeois, the very wealthy ones like Harvard and California. How can law firms, what is the relationship between these? I'm sure they all have alumni and ties in that way. And then, of course, care about these big law firms that seem so different than you and me.
Because this attack, it's singling out all firms that either made a deal or had I guess it's 14, or had an executive order under it. And some of them made some money. They don't own and operate the means of production, but they're certainly very close to this class. In that sense, there's a big gulf in antagonistic interests and the mass of the population, the working population, but this is not an attack on them. It's an attack, and the legal profession also reaches down and includes and fighting for their interests. And one of are the pro bono firms have represented Kilmar Albrego, and brought injunctions on behalf, back in the day, with the Center for Constitutional Rights to and so-called illegal combatants. These firms and the legal profession as a whole, and that's in everybody's interest.
And wouldn't you say, one way of summing this up, I suppose, is that Trump goes after these big law firms in the first instance because he knows that so much of what he is doing is illegal and challengeable in court. A very forceful way. So in his effort to kind of cut those after him and gets them agreeing to do millions of dollars of free legal work for him, adding up, as Maria said, to $1 billion. Well, Your thoughts on this? Where do we go from here? Are you feeling confident back? What do you think before we have to say good afternoon to you?
Well, first, thank you for having me, and good afternoon to you, too. And second, I think that it'll unfold.
Yes.
The Trump administration does seem to have lost interest in this. You know, the attention span is their orange. It doesn't last very long, and they've gotten their... and I'm sure they have people telling them, you know, it's time. The real villains in this are not them. We know they're villains.
Yes.
Are these Quislings. And this is a lesson. Everybody needs to fight this and needs to.
Yes.
And I think that is to fight this.
Well, John Burton, I thank today to explain as a police misconduct lawyer, has many great victories that he can probably do that. Next time you got a particular, as God knows, the LAPD and other policing departments have to, you and a number of other fine lawyers, guild lawyers and otherwise have been doing that for many years now. He's popular and easy thing to do either, but we appreciate that. And we thank you again.
Well, thanks, Jim. And thank you, Maria.
Oh, one last question. How can people follow this story?
WSWS.org, the World Socialist website. It's the most read socialist website in the world. And socialism is not such a dirty word unless you're in the Trump administration. Socialism than that. So again, I mean, that's not our movement, we would suggest stories on the World Socialist website, WSWS.org. And thank you for letting me have the plug.
Easy one to remember, WSWS.org. And I second John's suggested that people stay in touch with it. Well, again, thank you. I'm not sure we have that. When we do the show the way we do it, we don't know how many announcements are going to have to be made. But I want to remind our people, 3 to 4 o'clock, we're going to be back with you again next Wednesday. We've been able to continue with that schedule. Some shows will be taking a hiatus.
Definitely.
We'll be doing that. Reminder that it's time to say to all of you who listened today, we thank you all so much for listening today. We urge you to stay healthy, and especially urge you to stand up for your rights.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Breathe, heaven is under the earth. You don't know what life is really worth. It's a thought that needs a scroll. I've never been told. So now stand up for your rights. Come on, get up.
Please help keep independent journalism alive and KPFK radio strong. KPFK by pledging at any level. $1, $100 per month, whatever suits you. This is Verdeen White of Earth, Wind, and Fire, encouraging you to make your tax-deductible drive 5735. Make your tax-deductible drive 5735.